Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. We just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl. Just you and me.
Break it up with Linda Mitchell.
I know you said it, girl.
Jimmy Jam.
The land. We educate, communicate, and collaborate.
They want it.
We give, showing others how to live. We care, share, we love all through the land.
Well, good evening out there. It is Teller Tuesday. And you know, Monday, we were all reminded of earthquake territory. Your mindful Monday was to keep those tennis shoes by the door and pay attention, okay? It's that time. You know, today we have Miss Stephanie Haynes coming on with us again. She's going to be carrying us through that chakra information so that we can get everything going. But before we get going, I'd like to tell this to you. In all things, patience is the key to victory. Those who cannot endure cannot hope to win. Ultimate triumph belongs to those who can forbear. Yes, and we know we are the forbearers out here going through this. Everything is changing now, but we never forget to never give in to your negativity. Never give up on your dreams. Never retreat. Proceed as the mighty fearless lion, shining like the bright sun. No matter what, we make the impossible possible here. And before Stephanie comes on telling us about our bodies, I just want to play this for you just a little bit. You know, we go way back there. We make you remember.
Oh,
say that because when Stephanie Haynes gets through educating us on our bodies and keeping those chakras in balance, you're going to love everything that you feel. I think we have her on the line with us this evening. Stephanie Haynes, are you with us this evening? We're waking up with Linda McShann.
Yes, good evening, Linda and listeners. How are you doing this evening?
I'm wonderful, and again, I'm going to put that appreciation and thanks out there ahead of time, because once you get started, I don't like to interrupt you. Thank you so much for taking our time to care and share with us on a Tele Tuesday, so I'm going to be quiet and let you tell us what you need us to know.
Yes, last week we talked about how does the energy flow, all right? And we talked about the seven major chakras in the body. Yes, can you just hold on 1 second, please?
Yes.
Mama, I am doing a show. I'm on the bed. I told you not to go in there. All right, I'm sorry. So we talked about how the energy flows. And for tonight, we're going to talk about the divine feminine energy.
Okay.
All right. You may have heard that the term divine feminine being referred to as a spiritual concept. And perhaps you think of this as some type of new age jargon or something that applies exclusively to the truth. The divine feminine energy is nothing new. It has always existed and been acknowledged by different cultures and everything from religion and spiritual texts to art and literature. Now, as the name suggests, divine feminine energy represent what are traditionally thought of as more feminine qualities, such as being nurturing, intuitive, empathic, and creative. Now, this energy relates more to the right brain. Intuition and emotions often referred to as the feminine yin energy versus the left. Now, the logic and the analyzing often referred to as the masculine yang energy. Now, in order to connect and harness this energy, we need to engage in more gentle and nurturing activities that help us connect to our intuition and emotions. Now, as we feel connected to others, to the planet Earth, and to Mother Nature herself. Now, this divine feminine energy plays an important role in each of our lives, regardless of gender, and is crucial to the healthy functioning of the world as a whole. Now, more than ever before, especially what's going on right now with the pandemic.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I will need the energy of nurturing, compassion, empathy, and love. As each of us awaken it within ourselves, so too can we awaken externally for the world at large. Now, when we talk about world peace begins with us, and then we spread it out. You know, like practice for oneself and practicing for others.
Yes.
Everything starts with self. How can we awaken it externally for the world at large? Now, we can harness our chakra self-care to mindfully connect with our innate essence in order to harness divine feminine energy. We will discuss exactly how to do this later on as we go through this, okay? Now, how to reach our kundalini, right? So the kundalini is a Sanskrit term for a dormant energy core at the base of the spine since birth. It is the source of the prana. When Kundalini awakens, the energy unfolds and the flow freely up through the chakras. Now, leading to an expanded state of consciousness, or bliss, one might say, this is the ultimate goal of chakra work. Now, to connect and free the pure and powerful energy, which we were all born with, so it can flow freely through us and lead us to an expansion of bliss, both internally and externally. That means our conscience and our bodies. Now, while awakening the Kundalini, it is a significant step in energetic healing and spiritual evolution. Now, adjusting to the change it can bring physically, emotionally, spiritually, and energetically, it can't be disrupted. We must be patient with ourselves as we go through the process of healing our chakras, reaching the Kundalini, and integrating this new energy. Now, we're going to get started. Right? Now, so as we embark on your healing journey, it is very important to have the right environment and wish to do the sacred work, which requires a special place and perhaps for those who have them. And for me, everything is about energy. So in this space, you will dive deep into training, meditating, praying, channeling, living spiritual. You have your special altar for that on the special prayer room. Wherever you do, you have that sacred place somewhere in your home so that you may go to be able to get rejuvenated. Right? Mm-hmm. So yeah. In your sacred healing, I think of it as a spiritual or a space.
Okay, Stephanie, you were fading out on me on that last part. I don't know if the reception is bad or what, but it was an in and out fade.
Okay.
When you were speaking of finding a space in your home and going into your meditation to release it, you were going in and out. So I need you to kind of like repeat that again. It was a reception that was fading in and out on me.
Oh, okay. So let me go back. All right. So as you embark on your healing journey, it is important to have the right environment in which to do the sacred work, which requires a special space and perhaps even an altar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this meaning that whatever your religion belief is, or whatever your spiritual practice is, you can find that space or have that space where you can go and pray, chant, whatever, meditate, whatever that you do to get rejuvenated, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember, everything is about energy. Now, in this space, you'll dive deep into journaling, meditating, and performing some rituals, all of which will allow you to connect to your higher self. Now, your sacred healing space is very important. You will provide both physical and energetic space, and it is essential to your healing journey. Now, just think, it is as a spiritual office or a source, a space that is unique to you. Now, feel safe and comfortable, and it is peaceful and uplifting. Now, to create this space, you do not need as entirely a new room, right?
No.
You simply need a place where you can be comfortable and have a degree of privacy. So this can be a corner or a room or a little nook. You can walk around your home and find a place that feels good to you. Now, remember, it doesn't have to already be set up to be a sacred space. You can make it one. So incorporating nature in some way is always helpful to the energy of a sacred space. So perhaps the space can be by a window where natural light and fresh air floods in, or even on a balcony or terrace where you can sit with the elements of Mother Nature if the weather permits, right?
Yes.
So whether you choose to set up your space, so wherever you set up your space, make it only for the purpose of this work. It should be clean, tidy, and comfortable, as well as performing rituals. Now, you will be writing and meditating, so you will need to be able to sit or lie down comfortably. Because some people, when you meditate, you can either sit in your chair or you probably prefer laying down a mountain pose, right?
Mm-hmm.
So whatever, you know, is comfortable for you. Now, in addition to sitting and writing arrangement, you would need some basic items, a dedicated journal and pen, some candles, a snuffer, a white sage bundle, a Palo Santo stick, a matchstick, or a lighter for your smudging ritual. You know, smudging is like using sage. You know how people use sage to clear out the energy in the room,
mm-hmm.
right? For crystals, essential that you may use. Now, we will discuss this, you know, more in detail as we go through the chakras, all right? So let's talk about smudging, right? So that's the burning of the sage. So it is known as smudging. And this is a ritual that our ancestors used to help clear negative energy within a space or a body or to assist in prayer or rituals. Sage is a woody herb that has a rich history of both medical and culinary use and has been renowned across culture and country around the world for its healing properties for thousands of years. And, you know, sage is good for women for the reproductive area, right?
Yes.
Especially when this woman is on their menstrual, you know, they're having cramps. You know, a cup of sage tea is perfect for that. All right. So, smudging has a couple of practices to both clear unwanted energy. Excuse me. So when sage burns, negative ions are released into the air. Contrary to what suggests, the negative ions actually increases our sense of well-being and improves our mental state, thus bringing more positive into our lives. Now, before you begin any of these wishes, you would normally have to smudge. That means cleaning your space, right? Now, it is to clear the negative energy within the space, yourself or an object. It is to bring more energetic balance and calmness, or it is to relax you or prepare you for another ritual or meditation. So come ready with the intention before you commence the smudging ritual. That means that you clearing yourself and the space when you are doing it. All right? excuse me. So what you want to do is close all the windows and make sure no fans or air conditioner is on. Number two, take a few deep breaths in and out and set your intention. Now, light a sage bundle or a few leaves of sage bundle. Gently blow it on it. That means, you know, blow the fire off of it so it can it can go down and it can just disperse. Number four, then you're going to wave the sage gently around yourself, the object, or the space you are purifying. Now, if you are clearing a space, take the sage and wave it into each corner of the area. From the floor to the ceiling, tracing the entire space and making sure to get into every nook and cranny. You can use a small cup or dish underneath the sage to catch any burning embers, right? Anything coming from the sage.
Mm-hmm.
Number five, as you wave the sage in the appropriate place, come back to your intentions and visualize it as you see the smoke rise from the sage. Number six, once you are finished, you can open a window to let it in fresh air. Number seven, to seal the smudging ritual, you can light sweet incense or a candle to diffuse a florid essential oil like jasmine, or spray rose water around yourself or the space. Now, this brings a sweet and light energy into the purified space. Right, because sage itself has its own pungent smell, right?
Uh-huh.
And then once you finish doing your, you know, clearing and purifying your space, you want to bring something else to kind of mellow it out, bring the sweetness in. All right. Now, to create your sacred altar. Now, in your sacred space, you can create a personal altar. Altars are used by people of many different religions and traditions and places of worship. However, altars transcend religion and, in fact, are increasingly popular in people's homes as a powerful personal tool for spiritual connection. Now, if you choose to make one, your altar will serve as a special tool for your individual spiritual connection and healing journey. Now, setting up an altar is actually a simple, fun, and a creative process. Now, the physical items you use as your altar depends on the furniture you have available and the space in your home. It can be anything from a corner or an end table to a cabinet, a counter, a nightstand, or a wall itself. There is no right or wrong object. So use what works for you, given your space, and what feels good for you. Now, once you decide what you would like to use for your altar, you can choose what to include on it. Sacred items connected to nature and the four elements should be placed on your altar. You can include the candle, which is fire, the incense is air, the sand or dirt is earth, or a little pot of water, feature, you know, that's for water. The other items to include are crystal, plants, statues, shells, feathers, and so on. Whatever that resonate with you, all right? So the main ones is the fire, the air, the earth, and the water. All right. And so we as Buddhists, we also put some food there as well. Okay, so we have the fire, which is the candles. We have the incense. and we have the water. And we also add food. So these are just a few examples. So there is no limit to the tools and items you can include on your altar. Personalize it to suit you. So once you have chosen your altar and sacred tools, you need to clean them because, as we know, everything has energy. And there may be certain energies you want to bring into your sacred space. So you always keep your altar clean, right? If you have food there, you're always going to take that bad food off and do some fresh food. Same thing with your plants, okay? You take your plants. If they die in the winter, you make sure you prune them back or get some new ones. All right, you want everything to be nice and healthy and a clean space. Now, you can use the sage binder to perform a smudging ritual during which you burn the smoke around the items with the intentions of cleaning them of any low vibrational or negative energy. All right, so now we're going to talk about collecting crystals. Now, crystals are stones or rocks made of minerals found on the earth. They have natural healing energy. There are many different types of crystals that offer different properties, depending on which geological formation they were found in. For the purpose of our work, as we go along with these seven chakras, right, The most important thing is polishing the stones. The stones need to be polished as best as you can. You will often use these crystals in massaging and meditation. So you want ones without sharp edges. So I also highly recommend buying a couple of crystal wands, such as the saline and quartz wands, or you can use these for the multiple chakras and for gentle energy balance and work in rituals and meditation. Now, there is no right or wrong way to buy crystals, but it's important to buy ones you feel connected to in some way. Don't overthink it. It can be as simple as liking the color or the shape of a particular stone. Although it is fun to go crystal shopping and pick up stones to get a feel from them, but it is just as fun to get the perfect crystal online. So some of my favorite crystals are ones I purchase over the internet. No matter where you buy your crystal, make sure to conduct a smudging ceremony to clear the energy around them before you begin using them. Right? So now we're going to talk about expectations. So just like snowflakes, we are all intricately unique, and where each of us find ourselves today, your eye neighbors. As you start your chakra journey, remember, this is your journey of healing, alignment, and self-care. And thus will be unique to you. Be kind and patient with yourself as you go through this process, and try not to deem it unsuccessful just because you aren't seeing immediate progress. It takes time. The same many years that it took you to get to where you are, sometimes it takes that same many years to let it go.
That's true.
All right? So it all depends on your mind when you want to stop and let go. So remember, you are peeling back and reconfiguring years of energy. There isn't a right or wrong length of time to achieve a milestone. Your journey to optimum energy, well-being will take as long as it needs to. So now, in addition, as we progress on our path of healing, we may need assistance in clearing energy blocks and imbalance, whether it is hands-on healing treatment by a Reiki healer or energy healer, or a session where we walk through emotional matters where a therapist or a spiritual teacher or a mentor getting a helping hand or ear, and sometimes just what the universe are for us to make progress along our path. So I say this form of personal experience, as I saw a number of different energy healers and had countless sessions over the years, not only did this help me on my personal path to healing, but it's also inspired me to train and become a healer myself. So now my healer became my teacher and allowed me to heal others and in time to train others as healers as well. So I know from my personal experience that many healers, modalities, practitioners, and teachers can support and guide you on your journey to energetic alignment. So I want you to be open, getting help on your healing path, and take time to find an experienced and reputable practitioner whom you feel aligned with you. Now we're going to talk about using essential oils. Some of us, we go out and buy oils, and sometimes we don't even know how to use them, right?
Right.
We just like to know. Right? We just like to know them. All right. So using the essential oils are often used in aromatherapy, a form of alternative healing that use plants, extracts, and scents to help you concentrate elements and support that certain elements and support well-being. Now, these oils can be inhaled directly, used in an oil diffuser, or dabbed onto the skin, directly or diluted, depending on the oil. Now, you can also combine to make your own custom oil blend, which is one of my favorite ways to work with oil. Essential oil. Now, what I use, I love, especially during I put tea tree, eucalyptus, and peppermint together.
Mm-hmm.
That helps with my breathing, right? And if I wanted to get a little energized, I use the little orange scent, right? And peppermint helps with the mind, with the mental, right? The eucalyptus help with the breathing, right? And that's to open you up. So those are the combination that I love to use together, right? Now, as we go, I will make essential recommendations for each chakra and explain the properties of these oils and why they will assist the particular energy center. I also provide you with oil blends recipes to try out for each chakra, just as with the crystals. Okay, so you don't need to purchase multiple essential oils for each chakra. Simply start with one for each.
The chakras and the oils. The oils are good. When we're working that, I don't want to cut you off, but you mentioned eucalyptus for your breathing and peppermint for the middle. Now, eucalyptus also is an immune builder.
I said the peppermint for the mind.
Oh, yeah, peppermint is for the mind, but eucalyptus also is an immune builder.
Yes,
also.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Yes, because I find since the event that we've been going through. I shower with eucalyptus soap. I love eucalyptus. And I'm a spa enthusiast, so before traveling, before when I was traveling, I would always get what you call a eucalyptus wrap, is when they put the fresh eucalyptus leaves on you and wrap you in the steam hot blankets, and that would build that immune. So I might be smelling like a eucalyptus tree, but I'd be built up when I'm traveling. So I'm always the tea tree to use, and the peppermint just getting into. But this is exciting because each chakra, as you say, has a certain, it already has a certain function in its place, you know, through the body to keep us balanced and stuff. So it would make sense that the oils would blend with it. This is getting exciting. This is getting very exciting with the oils and the oil blends and the crystals and things of that nature. So each when I have a piece of jewelry that has all the crystal, that has all the chakras, it's lined up like the chakras. And it's a very unique piece, but since the pandemic, I don't wear it out because I don't feel like cleansing it every day, but I have it. And it's very important, and it's just lined up there. And one other question, you mentioned the Reiki. That Reiki is that energy blocker. And would you suggest when getting a Reiki, because we are moving energy through the body, that the most of the Reiki sessions that I've had, I know that there's Reiki persons that are skilled, but I always like that Reiki master. I just feel a little bit comfortable because they go a little bit in depth. But can that Reiki never touches you? That particular massage never touches your body. They move. They're like conduits, right? So that's a good energy. It clears the blockage. I'm glad you reminded me of that Reiki.
Okay.
I'm taking my notes here, Stephanie Haynes. Okay.
All right. So now we're going to do a chakra check-in, right?
Okay.
So
chakra what?
Check-in.
Chakra. Okay.
Check-in. We're going to check-in, okay? So now it's time to check in and see how your energy energy centers are functioning as we embark on the process of identifying and healing any energetic imbalance. So please know that this meditative check-in is to help you to connect to your energy body and to conduct an overall checkup as to how it is functioning.
Okay.
All right. So as we develop into the East chakras in depth, you will get custom meditation to help connect to the Pacific chakra and balance and heal it. So think of this initial chakras check-in as the start of connecting and consciously working with your energy body. So everybody right now, I want you to just grab a pen or a paper, wherever you are. All right, so we're going to do a little check-in. So number one, carve out some quiet time in your sacred space. Smudge your space to clear the energy. Okay, number two, now I want you to find a comfortable position to either sit or lie down for the duration of this meditation, at around 15 minutes, right? So what I want you to do is just close your eyes, then take a few deep breaths in and out of your nose, just to help your mind focus, settle your heart rate. Now, set the intentions. So this is the start of connecting with your energetic body. Now invite the divine guidance, whether it's from God, angels, your ancestors, whatever your spiritual belief. Depart loved ones, the universe, or simply from your own intuition. begin to process or scanning your body at each chakra, starting from the soles of your feet, moving up to your lower back, then your lower abdomen, around 2 inches below your belly button, then your midsection around your belly button, moving up to your chest, your neck, and then the space between your eyebrows and your forehead. Now finally finishing with the crown of your head. At each chakra, think about each part of your body. Try your best not to overthink this process, but rather just observe what you might sense, see, or feel as you move through each chakra. Ask yourself, what does it feel like? What can I see? You might see color, a shape, or image. Or perhaps you will envision a memory, an emotion, or a feeling. Now, after you finish this process, thank your energy body for this connection, and then gently open up your eyes. Now I want you to write down as many of your observation as you can recall. Now don't worry if they don't make sense. Just make a note of them. Mm-hmm. Then I want to light a candle, drink you some herbal tea, then take some time to reflect upon your meditation and journal any insight. Now try not to analyze what you felt, but write freely instead. So here's some prompts that you can consider. So how do you generally feel about the state of your energetic body? Does it feel like and free-flowing or heavy and constricted? How does each area of chakras feel? Do you feel any or imbalanced or blocked in some way? Is there physical tension? So now this exercise should give you the insight into your energy body, how each chakra is currently operating, and which chakra may need more help. Now, we will discuss each chakra in depth, including what each chakra governs, symptoms or imbalance, and how to open, balance, and heal each chakra so its energy flows optimally. You can also jump ahead to the chapters, you know, but since we are doing this, you know, via radio, you just follow me along. Okay? All right. Okay. So I don't know how much time I have more, Linda.
We got maybe about 5 more minutes before we wrap down. But we're going to, from my understanding, you say this is an insight into the energetic body, and we'll discuss this in depth for each chakra as we go along. So we got about 5 minutes, and then we'll have to wrap it in, and I'm going to go clean my space and light my candle when I get off so I can check myself, okay? I like the idea of that chakra check-in and check-up. I'll be doing that, okay?
Oh, okay. So what I'm going to do, so I'm going to start with the root chakra, and then we'll finish with this on next week, all right?
Okay.
So when the root is deep, There is no reason to fear the wind. I'm going to say that again. When the root is deep, there is no reason to fear the wind. Just like the pine trees, right?
Mm-hmm.
The pine trees doesn't fear the wind because they are planted at least 8 feet deep. They are deep. They are planted deep. So when the wind comes, they're not going anywhere, right?
Okay.
All right. So as the first of the chakras, the root chakra, it is the foundation of all of the other chakras, and it is the lowest found at the base of the spine.
Okay.
Just below the tailbone. It is also the first of what are known as the lower chakra, comprising the root, the side canal, the solar plexus. The Sanskrit name for this chakra is the Muladhara, where it means the root, Mula. And existence, the Ahara, it is from the translation that the foundation chakra has become more commonly known as the root chakra or the base chakra.
The base.
Now, the root chakra governs the foundation of our life and the core issues, including our basic needs, the sense of security, our home, and our family life, and how we feel in our body and on this earth. Now, these aspects of life are our roots. They help us to ground and to not only survive, but also thrive. Now, the energy of our root chakra determines our ability to be firmly rooted within ourselves and the world.
Mm.
Now, when the root chakra is functioning optimally and in the healthy alignment, we have an inner sense of security, which manifests as clear thinking and good concentration, which allow us to set goals and priorities and carry out tasks in order to achieve those goals. Now, a healthy, balanced root chakra leads to a calm, steady, and graceful energy that we can harness to remain grounded yet flexible during transitional periods. Now, and to be resourceful and courageous during more challenging times. In this sense, the healthy and aligned energy of the root chakra helps energetically fuel our life in all areas, now including what we manifest and how we navigate our path during both high and lows. Right?
Right.
Chakras is in balance or blocked in some way, we are impacted both emotionally and physically, which in turn influence aspects of our life. Now, it is important to note that an unbalanced chakra can be either underactive or overactive. When the root chakra is underactive, that means it is closed in some way. As a result, we may feel restless, lethargic, anxious, panicking, frustrated, or angry, resentful, and disconnected from both ourselves and from the world. That's where depression sets in. Right?
Whoa.
So as a result, we may have low self-esteem and feel pessimistic, insecure, unsafe, and as though we don't fit in. Okay.
And not fitting. That's the base of it. And I'm not cutting you off, but I'm looking at the emotional and physically, because that controls that. So once that we get in tune with the check-in of our body and the checkup of our body, that gives us the answers to why we're feeling a certain type of way. And when it leans, and we know when it's balanced and it's out of balance, which gives us another method of doing that self-care, which we always talk about. But on that note, Stephanie Haynes, we're going to come in next week, and we started with the root, so we will be moving up. And shall we keep our pens and pads ready as we go through? Because mm-hmm. this is the build-up session for the big event that we will talk about, because not only are we doing this over air, we want to do this in person because people are going to need it, okay? And that's what it's all about here, sharing and caring. And I surround myself with healers because I know I need some healing. And that's why I have you come on and take care of it for us. And on that note, I'm going to tell the listeners, Stephanie Haynes is the author of The Healing of the Wound. Stephanie, would you give us your email address so that they can contact you quickly before we say goodnight?
Yes, it's fashion, FashionBlyFit 22@gmail.com.
FashionBlyFit22@gmail.com. Stephanie Haynes, the author of The Healing of the Wound and The Healing of Many, Many Other Things. This has been a pleasure, Stephanie, because now I'm going to go find my toothbrush and go in my little cricks and crevices to take care of my little sacred space and make sure that all the clutter is around it and cleanse. And not only will I cleanse that, I will cleanse myself. I think that will be my tomorrow's work, okay? I don't want to start tonight. I won't get any sleep, but I'll just do what I do to wrap up my evening in my meditation mode and set my intentions to make that my priority tomorrow. I remember someone saying when you clean, persons used to clean around their altars and things with toothbrushes, getting all that dust and stuff out the way. So that means something. And we know that when you clean up around you, when you clean your home, you're cleaning your life. And it just makes you feel totally, totally different and lighted over here. We appreciate you taking out time to come with us, giving us this good information. We talked about the root, and it said when the root is deep, there's no reason to feel the wind. And that, like we say, once it's planted down that deep, it's unswayable. And that's what I have to say about you. This lady is unswayable. Audience, Stephanie Haynes, author of The Healing of the Wound, thank you so much for coming on, sharing, and caring with us this evening. And she told it to you on Tuesday, people. And if you notice, she said patience. And as I stated, in all things, patience is the key to victory. Those who cannot endure cannot hope to win. Ultimately, triumph belongs to those who can forbear. So let's get ourselves in balance with this self-care so we can teach ourselves and be out there to help others. Stephanie, we love you. Thank you so much. Have a great evening.
You too now. Have a good evening. Thank you so much
for having me. I sure will. Right, love you. Get some rest. Thank you again.
Break it up. With Linda,
Miss
Jerry,
you
ready, girl?
Sharing
care,
yeah. Sharing care with love all through the land. We educate, communicate, and collaborate.
All through the land.
We give, showing others how to live.